Welcome to The Fountain, where it's our desire to connect with God, to grow in Jesus, and to engage the world in His name. As you listen to this message, we pray that you allow God to speak to your heart, and that His words might motivate you to life change. Come to The Fountain, a place where you belong.
Morning, church. Before I start on the scripture and delve into the message today, I want to remind us of something. That Reuben and Katie's daughter today, who was dedicated to the Lord, that little girl, as she grows and she learns, she's going to have to walk in that. As they teach her, as we teach her. And there'll be days as she starts to understand and she makes her own choices, she's going to have to decide if Jesus is her Savior and Lord. That's between her and God, but we have the responsibility, her parents primarily, to help her walk in that knowledge and in that truth, to be able to have what she needs to make that decision. And so as she grows, as she becomes this adult, this adolescent into this adult, she's going to have to strive every day to say, Lord, what is it that you want? And that's her choice. But every day she's going to have to come to a realization that I'm dedicated to the Lord. And if I fall back at some point, then I need to rededicate. I need to recommit. And so today, church, before I get into this message, that's what I'm calling you to. I'm calling you to rededicate your mind, your heart, your soul, your strength to the Lord and His will. Every day I know that I have to do it. I have to come, and if there's something that's just not right in my heart or my mind, I have to come back to the truth and say, Lord, this is what I first believed. Help me come back to that. Lord, what is it that I need to give up and I need to re-pick up that's about you? I need to rededicate myself on a regular basis. And that's what I'm calling you today, church. So maybe you need a change of mind. Maybe you need a change of heart today. Because what I'm going to start a series about today is called Life Together. Because you weren't meant to live in isolation. You weren't meant to live by yourself or just your family unit. You're part of a greater family if you trusted the Lord with your life. You're part of the family of God, and we are bound by the blood of Jesus. And believe me, the blood of Jesus is worth more than the biological blood that flows through our veins. So here's what I'm asking you to do. The Holy Spirit's got something for you. We've already prayed for it. Open your heart and listen. Is there a transformation that needs to happen in you today? Just be open to whatever the Lord's prompting is today for you. It may be just a word. It may be just an idea. It may be a whole change of paradigm and structure in your life. Would you be willing to just listen to the Lord on that today? And I want to start today. I want to read scripture out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Very important scripture in this series. Life together. The next 3 weeks are going to be about life together. And I'm not trying to manipulate. We are not trying to manipulate you. We're only communicating what we believe the word of the Lord is already telling us about community, about life together, and how that is supposed to be walked out. So in 1 Thessalonians 2, it says, you know, brothers and sisters, that our visit to you was not without results. We had previously suffered and been treated outrageously in Philippi, as you know. But with the help of our God, we dare to tell you His gospel in the face of strong opposition. For the appeal we make does not spring from error or impure motives, nor are we trying to trick you. On the contrary, we speak as those approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please people, but God, who tests our hearts. You know we never use flattery, nor did we put on a mask to cover up greed. God is our witness. We are not looking for praise from people, not from you or anyone else, even though as apostles of Christ, we could have asserted our authority. Instead, we were like young children among you. just as a nursing mother cares for her children. And listen to this. This is a specific verse in verse 8. So we cared for you. Because we loved you so much, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. Surely you remember, brothers and sisters, our toil and hardship. We worked night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preached the gospel of God to you. You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging to live lives worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and his glory. Church, sharing our lives means that our personal experiences, that which we've walked through, however old you are and however many experiences God has allowed you to walk through, will benefit someone else as we use them as such, as we walk in life and meet people. Many of you know I lost my dad, and that experience, as fresh as it is a couple weeks ago, and as much as I am still contemplating and grieving over it at times, has been useful as my friend and my brother in Christ was going through the exact same thing that I had just gone through. It has been useful for my friend and my brother. He went to Louisiana last week or a week ago to be with his father. And while I flew to Ohio just over a week ago to be with my dad and my family, as my dad left this world, my friend was going through the same thing with his father in Louisiana. And we were on the phone together, texting and encouraging, because we have the same blood flowing through us. Yes, he might be my brother from another mother, but he's my brother in Christ, which is a stronger bond. And when we encourage each other, it means more. So my experience that I'm going through with my family is immediately useful, not because I'm a pastor. I have some people say, and my wife says this sometimes, say, okay, I don't want to hear about from Pastor Mike right now. I don't want to hear from Minister Mike right now. I want to hear from my husband. Ray didn't need to hear from Pastor Mike. He needed to hear from his brother in Christ who sharpens iron together, his friend Mike McGuire. And that's where we all stand in life with people. As God calls us and uses the experience, whether how fresh or how many years we have in that experience, for someone else's life. It was encouraging and strengthening for both of us. No advice, just love, just prayer, just compassion. A resonance of soul and spirit with a brother who was in need. Ray flew back home last Sunday. And we connected this past week on Friday over lunch. I didn't even know he was back in town. But he texted me. He said, hey, I'm going to be in your area. He lives out towards Powder Springs and Douglasville. And he works out there. And he said, I'm going to be in your area for an appointment. You got time for lunch? I said, absolutely. Anytime I can get a piece of Ray and talk to him and us pray together and talk together, I take that on. Because that's a mentor and a brother that I value very much in my life. But less than an hour after we left lunch, and we met at Chick-fil-A on Jimmy Carter Boulevard, and he left to go head back to his office, but less than an hour, Ray texted me and told me that his father had passed away. He got word. While we were sharpening iron, while we were praying for him, while we were praying for his family, while we were praying for his sister, who has been one of their dad's primary caregivers right now. And we were talking about how much more difficult it's going to be for her to walk through this because she's hands-on with it. And we were praying for her through this and that his father would just, when the time come, that he would pass in peace. And while we were praying, his dad left this world. That's peaceful. That's just what we prayed for, and God answered that prayer in the midst while we were on our way. God answered that prayer for Ray. Ray and his wife Michelle were in one of the first small groups that I led almost 20 years ago. And we have been providing life and care and instruction and encouragement and in rebuke and warning and correction for each other all these years. And it started way back when we were a small group of people meeting together to do life together. That's where it started. And God has just been blessing me as I've submitted and recommitted to that kind of community. He's just kept blessing me. I have so many close friends that don't even go here that we were in group together, and God has bonded our relationship and our lives together. The men's group that I meet with on Friday mornings at 6:30 a.m., and it's such a wonderful time of the day. Anybody resonate with that? 6:30 in the morning? Oh, not many, huh? Okay, well, that's where we are at 6:30 in the morning on Fridays, if you want to join us, men. But it's a group of men who sharpen iron. It's a group of men who share their lives with each other, and not just on Friday mornings. There have been multiple occasions when we've needed each other, or we've bound together to go serve somebody or provide for somebody as a group that God has called together. And it's valuable. It's invaluable to my growth as a man of God. Russell Crowe plays the character Maximus Decimus Meridius. Anybody know what movie? Gladiator. Yes. He's a general to the Roman army in the movie Gladiator. And it's another of my favorite movies. In one of the opening scenes, they're about to finish one of their final conflicts with the Germanians before there is so-called peace in the country. He is giving some of his men a pre-battle pep talk. And one of his lines in the scene is one to remember. He says, "Hold the line. Stay with me. What we do in life echoes in eternity." What a great line. What we do in life echoes in eternity. That is so scriptural. That is so the message of God's plan for us together. Because what we do in life has a difference. It could be the difference in someone else's eternity. Where we position ourselves, what we give up, what we pick up, who we decide to reach out to and have a conversation with. If we decide to be obedient when God brings people across our path and we see a divine appointment and we're obedient to that divine appointment, it changes the course of someone else's eternity. What we do in life, this life, your life that God has given you, however many years it is, what you do with your life echoes in someone else's eternity. When we share our life with someone or a group of people, we change the course of their lives and our own as well. The investment and time and sharing of your life today will echo in eternity. Their eternity and all those who are touched down the line by the first touch that you gave. Because you see, you're a link in the chain. You're planting seeds. Someone else will give nutrients. Someone else will water. And then someone else will even harvest. But you know what? We all have a part. What your part is, just be obedient in that part. Rejoice that God gave you the opportunity, not just for them, but for your own life, because it wells up in us. We become more like Christ when we're doing what God's called us to do, sharing our life. Sharing life on an intimate level with brothers and sisters is what gets us through living in this world. Keeps us from succumbing to an enemy who is seeking to bring us down and draw us away from our true refuge, our true strength, our ultimate provider, and our ultimate caretaker, God. He is our source. He is our source for power. He's our source for strength. And the devil, in all sorts of ways, and your way that he attacks you is different from the way that he attacks me. Because he knows your weaknesses as well as God does. And if he can get a foothold, he will. So it's important that we come together not just in this community, but in smaller communities. So we know each other intimately, our needs and our desires, what makes us tick, what our weaknesses, our strengths, and we help each other walk through life that way. We share our lives with someone else. Eric Shoebridge shared at a memorial service for Barry Pallison last week just about how many people in his life were necessary and were happy to assist Barry with his every physical, his emotional, and spiritual need while he was on this earth. And Eric, I hadn't a chance to reach out to you, but brother, your words were eloquent and right on point. And I thank you for what you delivered that came from God and your experiences with Barry. And not only you, but those who you mentioned. But it was intentional. Am I right? It was intentional care. It wasn't just happenstance. It was intentional. That means I get up and I make a decision, no matter what my brother or sister's going through, no matter how inconvenient it may be for my life, when they're in need, I adjust. And I reach out, or I provide, or what, however small or however big it is. But you know what happens when we do that? When we give up of ourselves, God gives us so much more. You know the scripture. You can't outgive God. He gives you all you need to walk through that experience. And then when you empty yourself out, He fills you back up to do it again. To do it again. Not to say, okay, I did my part. Now I'm going to sit back. Oh, I taught the children, so I've done my part. So now I get filled up so I can just enjoy being filled up. No, He fills you up to do it again. He fills you up to share the life that is no longer yours. You're the manager. You're the steward of a life that has been given back to Jesus, and He owns it now. And so with all respect and adoration and obedience, we say, Lord, what is it that you want me to do with this life? And sometimes it's just a small thing right now, but sometimes it's life-changing. Church, we are not just called the fountain. You are a fountain. This is who we are as a Christian. The moment you became a Christian, you became a giver by nature. By responsibility, if you will. It may not be in your DNA makeup. Maybe you grew up and your parents gave you everything and all you did was want and want and want and want. But when you became a follower of Christ, that's in your job description. Is to become a giver. You may not have become fully what you are yet, but this is who you are. Self-giving is a part of your nature now, your essence, your identity, because it's not Mike McGuire here, it's Christ living in me that's supposed to come out. Like we said last week, when you squeezed Barry Pallison, and Jesus came out. So who comes out when you're squeezed? Who comes out of you? I don't know if you remember the song we played when we introduced the name of the church, when we said the new name of the church is the Fountain. But the song by Need to Breathe, and I want to remind you of some of the words in this song. It's called Come to the Fountain. And if you are a fountain, then God has plans for people to come to you to dip into your life. And for you to be willing to share your life with somebody because you are a fountain that God is filling you up and pouring you out. See the scripture, streams of living water? We're going to get to that. But the words go like this. Give me your heart. Give me your song. Sing it with all your might. Come to the fountain and you can be satisfied. There is a peace. There is a love. You can get lost inside. Amen. Come to the fountain and let me hear you testify. Into the wild, canyons of youth. Oh, there's a world to fall into. Weightless will dance like kids on the moon. And listen to this line. Oh, I will give myself to you as soon as you start to let go. I will give myself to you because it's in my DNA. It's my identity. It's my nature. This is not my life. It was bought with a price. It doesn't belong to me. So I say, Jesus, I give you my life, not just to save me, but to be my Lord. And my Lord is saying, I've got to share my life, share what he's done in me. That's your testimony. Some of you don't think you have a testimony, but when Jesus saved you, you have a testimony. And you don't have a testimony unless you're tested. And when you get through testing, Jesus says, now you got something. Go share it with somebody, because somebody needs to know your story. Share your life with somebody. Listen to Jesus say these words in John 4:14. But whoever drinks the water I give them, and that's what it means to be a Christian, will never be thirsty again. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. This is who you are. You are a spring. You don't do a spring. You are a spring. Whoever believes in me, Jesus said in John 7, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. That doesn't mean that we're keeping him now. He fills you up so it will flow out through your love, through your compassion, through your care. It flows out. Springs of living water. This is the Holy Spirit in us. And he's supposed to come out so he can reach others. 2 weeks ago, I'm skipping ahead. I don't want to go there. Hold on. What makes a spring and fountains happy and healthy is when they make streams, when that comes out of us. If you stop them, they foul up. They clog up. If you let them give, if you let them become what they are, they stay clear and healthy and life-giving and happy. This message is an effort to help you and me be happy like that. A message to encourage you to be self-giving, a self-giving part of a life group. This time, not because of your need to get, because of your ability to give. Specifically to give yourself. The new self that God has created in you at whatever stage of creation that you are. Because we're always being transformed more into the likeness of Christ. Acts 20:35 says this, remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than receive. It's in our nature. If we're part of the family of God, if we're becoming like Christ, it is more blessed, and the word blessed translates into happy. It is more happy. We are more happy when we can give than when we're receiving. And I want to look at verse 8 real quick again. Paul and Silas and Timothy said this, because we loved you so much, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel, not only truth, but the truth in us, our life as well. Because you see, that's what people are going to believe first, right? Before you ever get them into the Word of God, they have to see the Word of God. And they see it in us, then they say, oh, there's something about that person. Let me hear more about that. They start believing in that word because it's coming through you. And then they start receiving that word because it's coming through you. And then they make a commitment to that word themselves. That's the goal, right? That God will bring as many as he can through his body. So Paul and Silas and Timothy were literally pleased to share their own souls, not just the message, but the messenger, not just the words, but lives, and not just doctrines, but hearts. This is what we mean when we encourage us to be a part, not just a part, but an active, integrated part of a life group, not because of your need to get, because of your ability to give. I want to draw our attention to James chapter 2 now. James says this, suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm, and be well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. And listen to this, the powerful example James uses in just a couple verses later. He says, was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. In other words, you can say, yes, I love people. Yes, I care about people. Yes, I want people to know God. But if you don't do anything about it, your faith is dead. Your faith is just not for you. Your faith grows when you work it out. When you do what he's called you, then other people say, they said it, they did it, I believe it. That settles it. We've got to walk it out. We've got to work it out. And we have to do it with each other. People are God's most valuable asset. Bill Hybel said, the church is the hope of the world. That's you and me. That's us. Kingdom. We're the church. How will they know unless someone tells them? That's us. Whether by word or by deed, and hopefully by both. They will know that Jesus is Lord. 2 weeks ago tonight at 10:27 p.m., my earthly father breathed his last at 10:27. And it was a labored breath. And I was so glad he wasn't laboring anymore. It was a peace in my heart. But his body had no more because his spirit left. His spirit moved from his body to his eternity. So at 10:27, the body that lay there in the bed was of no more use. It was no good. It was a shell that God kept in the most important part until the time that he called that important part home, his spirit. James finishes his thought with this. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. Just like my dad's body that was laying there, and I don't mean if you're feeling that way to be kind of, I'm not being irreverent or anything. This is my father, so, you know, he lived a life, I loved him. But that body, as I'm a believer in the Lord and his way and his will and his word, that body is of no more use because the spirit is not there. Relate that to your faith. If you just have faith and it's not doing anything, it's of no good to anybody, not even you. Because in order for it to grow, it has to be exercised. It has to be used. Church, our faith is made real and realized when we do what we were created to do. Love people, share our lives. And when we don't, our faith, as with the body with no spirit, is dead. Reuben Cortix, I guess that's how he spelled his, pronounced his last name. I'm just taking a chance on that's how. But he said this, we can't simply cheer people on and give them our best wishes. We have to make room for them in our lives. You do. Your life is not your own. And the Lord is speaking and saying, share your life with somebody. Yesterday, me and Charla and Garrett, we attended a memorial service for a friend, a longtime friend, Eric Bonner. Yesterday, and it was a celebration. It was in a country club, and it was a party, really was. And it was amazing. I told Charles afterwards, I said, this is what I want. I don't want a funeral. I don't want people crying. I don't want, I'm with the Lord, you know. You know, let's just, you know, sing some songs or listen to some songs, have some food, and just have a good time. But the friends of ours were there that we're closer to, and it's Bryce and Allison Hope. Allison was very special to me and Charla. When I was a children's pastor, I've known Allison since she was in third grade. And she came up through my youth group, and we were like second parents to her, and so we have a special relationship. But she grew and went to college. She married a youth pastor, but she felt a calling in her heart. Bryce and Allison have three biological kids of their own, but Allison has this special gift, and she knows the Lord had given it to her to give more than just to her healthy biological kids. And so they became parents. They started in foster care, and then they decided the Lord was calling them to adopt these children that they were being foster parents for. And they weren't just kids like their kids. They were kids with special needs. And so they have three children with special needs that they've adopted. So they have six kids. But this is where God has called them to share their life with. And Mia, one of their children, I've been to see Mia a few times in the hospital. She's 4 years old, almost five, but to look at her, you would think she was like two or three. You see, Mia is on the heart transplant list, and she needs a new heart. this little four-year-old. But to watch Allison and Bryce care for her, it's like they bore her, that this is the gift that God's given them. And they're walking through every hospital visit, every sad time, every happy time, because God has given them, inside of them, what they need to share with those children in their lives. And he's given us all that to share with people in our lives. We even have some of our own folks here, Brian, Brooks, Sonnenfeld. They felt God leading them to adopt children. And so that now they have three adopted children of their own, giving their lives to these children who were given up or in foster care. And their most recent was their little girl, Faith, who was adopted just almost 2 weeks ago. They went through the adoption. Charla sent me pictures. She got to be there. And it was a beautiful thing. Because it's going to make the difference not only in their lives, but in the lives of these children that they're sharing their life with. When you have something to give, you must share it with someone else. Your life was created to share it. But I know there are people sitting here, and you're feeling like, I don't have anything to give. I have little or nothing to give. But I'm going to be bold, church. And I'm going to say with the authority on God's word that you do. If you are a Christian and you believe that, you're believing a lie that the enemy is planting inside of you. And you're allowing him to do it. Because if you have Christ, you have the Holy Spirit. You have the Word of God. You have spiritual gifts. You are a new creation in Christ. And you are a fountain that he's created within you, a spring of living water that needs to flow. Don't clog it up with these thoughts and these ideas that you can't do anything. Don't clog it up with these habits and these sins that you have in your life. Change your life. Rededicate it. Hand it back over to God and pick up the things of God. That's what's going to flow out of you. He will fill you up with the things of him, and he will pour you out to the people who need the things of him that are coming out of you. But you can only do it if you walk in it. If you say, I'm going to change today. I'm going to rededicate today. There's people that I need to be connected with. They may not be like me. Matter of fact, that person talks too much, or that person doesn't talk enough, or that person may smell a little bit, or I don't like their perfume. But if God has called you to them, there's a purpose, and you need to walk in that purpose. And it's a matter of faith. It's a matter of trust. 1 Corinthians 12, 20 and 22 to 22 says this. As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker, listen, and you may be thinking this about yourself. Those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. Are indispensable. We all have a part. We are all needed. And every part is as important as the other. You are a follower of Christ. You are indispensable. It can be messy. It will be messy. It can be uncomfortable. It will be uncomfortable. It can be a blessing. No, it will be a blessing. Now, in closing, as the band gets prepared to lead us into communion, I want to close with this. I want to go back to the movie Gladiator. Before they go out to execute all their war strategy, Maximus reaches out to one of his commanders, like one who would shake hands with another person, but grabs forearms, and each exclaims to the other, strength and honor. Strengthen. Here, I want you to do something for me. I want you to stand up. This may be corny, but you're going to do it. You got to be beside somebody. And I want you to reach out and not shake their hand, but go past the hand and grab a forearm. Grab a forearm with the other, just like you would shake hands. Like this. Come here, Cherie. Cherie's going to be my example. Stand over here. Look at me. Yeah. So we're not going to shake hands. Don't trip now. We're going to grab forearms. And then say to that person, strength and honor.
Strength and honor.
Just say it to him. Thank you, Cherie.
Thank you.
Strength and honor. Now go to the person on the other side of you and do the same thing. Grab an arm and say, strength and honor. Strength and honor. Strength and honor. All right, come back to me before we go back into a full-out welcome again. You see, God gives us, church. Let me have a seat for just a moment. God gives us what we need for others in our own lives. He gives us strength to do whatever He is asking us to do. He is asking us to share our lives. And when we do that, we honor the Lord Jesus Christ, who shared His life with us. Gave it up to die on a cross. He gave it all up. They didn't take it. He laid it down. He gave it. He was intentional about giving His life to you and me, to sharing His life, to fulfill and be obedient to His Father. He showed strength in staying the course when it would have been easy to call on 10,000 angels to come and deliver Him from the cross. He stayed the course because He knew that what He was doing would change the course of history and the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ, a picture of strength and honor. Will you remember that not only today as we share these symbols of His death, of His body, of His blood, not just today, but will you remember by sharing it every day in the way that you live, in the way that you share your life with people, not hesitantly, not reluctantly, but eagerly and with joy and with delight and with intentionality. That's the message. What is God speaking to your heart today? What needs to change in here or in here or in here to make sure that you're sharing your life with other people? We go into this time remembering what Jesus did, and I'm not going to belabor it because we've just talked about it. So if you're a believer, you're a follower, you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, this is a special time for you to celebrate with your family, that we walk in this together and we celebrate together because we believe together in what He did. That's why we gather. So I'm going to have a word of prayer. And as the band plays, just in your time, just go, there's tables in the back, there's tables up front. And just take that time and thank Jesus for sharing His life with you. And then ask Him to give you the strength to share your life with somebody else. Father God, we love You. Thank You. Father, all we have to do is look in Your Word and You open it. Thank You, Spirit, for reminding us and for making it known for those of us who want to know. God, You're so awesome. All we need to do is say, who do I need to share my life with, Lord? And then do it right in front of us. Jesus, thank You for sharing Yours with us. We wouldn't know God the way we do, Your Father and our Father, if You hadn't. So we thank You. And we're going to celebrate that now, Father. As we take this communion, may it glorify You. And may it bless us as we remember. In the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.